get it moving. I say today's date is July 20th, 1998. If you don't care to state your name and where we are today.
Marcia Smith Lawrence in my home in Lexington. You want the address?
If you want to give it either.
1833 Dalna Drive.
Okay.
Lexington 40505.
Alrighty. Now let's get started. What year did you graduate?
In 1943.
Okay. I have those dates written down, but I always like to ask people because sometimes there's been a couple of times where we've just been off a few years because, I don't know, things get messed up like that on the computer. So I like to ask people. Okay, I guess let's just start out. Tell me a little bit about growing up when you were living in Knott County and your family.
I was the third child in my family. I had a brother and a sister older than I, and a brother younger. I'm not going to get through this with my voice.
Well, you can do
it. It's going to leave.
Okay.
I've had problems with it. We were all born in Hyman. My mother lived in the county, but close to Floyd County. And she moved over into Hyman when she and Dad got married. We lived real close to the school. The old grade school building. And my mother used to tell that when I was really young, before I could go to school, and I guess it says something about what kind of person I was, during recess or time for school to get out, I used to go out and take myself out on the front porch and sing, which always humiliated me to be reminded of that. But I could see the kids down on at recess and everything, you know. And then, of course, after school, and when we were little, we played on the school grounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big brown building, great big building. I don't really remember when the high school was built. Mm-hmm. I think I was really quite young. But I went to the 8 grades at the old grade school building and had teachers from every place. Uh-huh. I think we had one or two local teachers.
Yeah.
There was a Benny Dyer was a teacher, and Devon Pratt at one time was a teacher in the grade school. Dale Smith also taught in the grade school.
Okay.
But then there was a Miss Manshart and Miss Keysall and I can't remember. We had several that were from different states, you know. It was just delightful growing up in Hyman and going to school in Hyman. I think we were blessed with all the teachers when we were exposed to different people from different cultures.
Yeah, that's...
And that's meant a great deal to me more after I became adult than it did when it was going on.
What was that like, having, like you said, here you are in the middle of Eastern Kentucky in this little, you know, little town, and you had these teachers just from all over.
Well,
did you think anything of it then,
we learned things from them,
right?
And then there were funny things, you know, the reaction. We lived so close to the school, and my mother knew everybody, and my mother was a marvelous cook, and a lot of the teachers, who of course. The Fotched On ones, lived in the settlement school, and they used to come over to our house and climb the many steps up to the house, and have mother would bake pies, and they'd have dessert or just visit. You know? So we knew them. I was named for one of the people who came to the settlement school. Her name was Marcia Cook, and Marcia Cook stayed there. I don't really know how long, but I was named for her, and when she left the settlement, she married a man who was in the with the State Department, and she traveled all over the world with him wherever he went for his assignments. And I remember she used to send me things from different countries, and the one thing I remember was from Turkey, I think, were a little red shoes that turned up at the toes and had bells on. and a little red kimono type thing, you know. So I was proud of that, of course. She came back one time. I think perhaps I was in a freshman in high school at the time. And I can remember walking around the campus with her. But then we lost touch, and I never knew what happened to her.
Yeah. Mm.
But that was, there was a teacher there from Florida one time who, it was a man, and I can't remember whether he taught, I was in grade school. I don't remember whether he taught in grade school or he was teaching in high school. But when the first time it snowed, he went rushing out and held his hands up and yelled, what did he say it was? I swear I can't remember. Something from heaven, and I can't remember what it was he said. But he almost lost his mind over seeing. That's the first snow he'd ever seen in his lifetime. Yeah.
That's funny.
It was funny.
Now, going talking about a little bit about your grade school years, you've mentioned some of your teachers, of course. I guess maybe try to give me an idea of what it was like to be in grade school at Hyneman then. I mean, I know there would be a lot of similarities, of course, just like now you're going to school, but weren't all the classes, there was one building, right?
One building, but there was a kindergarten building, and I went to kindergarten 4 years.
You did?
And I thought it was always significant that I never got bored. But the kindergarten teacher lived in the, they call the practice home, I guess. It was on the flat where the cabin is now.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to stop and pick me up and carry me and take me to kindergarten. So I went for 4 years. She and mother were good friends. I guess that was her payment for the lemon pie and the apple pie and everything that she had from Mom.
Yeah.
But I can remember, I remember something about that 4 years, that we all had little blankets that they put on, that we put on the floor for our rest time. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed kindergarten real much as far as I remember. The grade school was three different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And first and second grade, and I think a part of third grade, were on the lower level. And the other part of third grade and fourth grade and fifth and sixth were on the ground level in the front,
mm-hmm.
which would be the second story, the second level. And then the seventh and eighth grades were up on the top floor. And there were two wooden staircases going up to the third floor.
Uh-huh.
Only one going down to the first floor from the front, as I recall. But there was an entrance from the back onto that, because that was ground level in the back of the building. On the third floor, there was a stage, and that's where all the plays and things were done when I was going to school there. It was interesting. The teachers were interesting, and I enjoyed school. I always liked school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it was different from other schools. I think the main difference in going to school at Hyneman and going to school at any place else in the county were the teachers that came from all over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess that would be true. Let's talk a little bit about, since you never did live on campus, did you?
No.
Since you lived right there, I mean, pretty much right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
What was Hyneman like then growing up, maybe in your later grade school years and high school years, the town itself?
Well, the town was, I guess the one thing you could say about it was it had role models galore. And you really were afraid to do much of anything because of the older people in town.
Uh-huh.
if you got in trouble, not only your mom and dad you displeased, but you would displease Doc Duke and his wife Evie and and Hillard and Dicey Smith and just all the people in town, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think they sort of kept people on the straight and narrow because of what they think about you. We had one place in town. Well, there were about three places in town where you could have. We had a good time. There were a couple of drug stores, and one of them, as I recall, had a jukebox and you could dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a place called the Palace Lunch that was a restaurant, and it had a dance floor and a jukebox, and we were allowed to go down there after school.
Yeah.
And dance, and so we, you know, we didn't have cars, we couldn't go to Hazard, we didn't have a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we made our, we had candy parties, you know, we'd get together at somebody's house and make candy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was always fun the first day of court. So many people, you couldn't move. A lot of times, we'd try to get things to do on the first day of court to earn a little money. We'd sell watermelon out on the street.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I remember selling. But you worked real hard to try to work with somebody, get, you know, earn a little money on the first day of court.
So I guess people came from all over the county since that was the county seat.
All over, and people would bring horses into town, and they would horse trade down close to the bridge in town.
Yeah.
Underneath there was a big store building there that was Bit Newland's store, I think. It was a dry goods store, and it was sort of open underneath. It was sort of almost like on stilts or something. And they used to ride the horses,
mm-hmm.
mules, everything up and down. And of course, they were going under the store and nipping a little moonshine down there. And they say that they used to put what do they call it? Hot something. They put something on the horse's skin that would irritate them and make them run.
Yeah.
And so they acted a little more lively than they really were, I guess, when they were doing all the horse trading down there. So, I can remember, I think, when the street of Hyman was tree-lined on both sides.
I bet that was pretty.
It was. And I think I can remember, well, it was dirt.
Mm-hmm.
The street was dirt. And I can remember, I think, when they cut the trees down and paved the street. I didn't realize then what a tragedy it was.
No kidding.
But it was, I don't really know what to tell you about the place.
Well, that's a pretty good description. I was trying to get an idea of maybe, like you were talking about things y'all did in court.
Yeah, and then I remember for Halloween one time, somebody, there was a, behind one of the stores was, I guess it was behind the drugstore. Now, what would be there now? They had an outside toilet. And almost every year, the mean boys would go down and get that toilet and bring it up and just pick it up and carry it up and set it on the street up there, you know. Really bad. But we had fun in Hyman. One thing we used to do, go up in the courthouse and listen to trials.
That's what somebody else told me.
Right, right.
So you would just go up and you could just go in and listen to what was going on.
And I can remember also that up in the courthouse, too bad Zeta's not in here and I could confirm something with her, they used to have box suppers up there.
Hmm.
Were the girl, women, you know about box suppers?
Yeah, I kind of, well, tell me a little bit more. I've heard different things.
The females would all fix a box lunch.
Yeah.
Except it was at nighttime, so it would be supper. And they'd take the boxes, and then they would be auctioned off. Hmm. And if somebody had a boyfriend, the boyfriend would try to buy the box of his girlfriend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they would eat supper together. And then I remember one time, that they had a dance down there. Because I remember going, and it was the first time I ever had a pair of high heel shoes, and I got blisters that like to kill me. But so there were community things that went on at the courthouse. It was upstairs of the old courthouse. It was up there.
Yeah, I think somebody else had told me about a box lunch thing, but nothing about having it, you know, like in town, kind of like that. I think that's kind of neat.
And we all used to sort of get in, I guess they had some cars, man, truckers, and go out into the country, go to stir-offs. I remember going to one down on Big Branch one time.
What's that now?
Where they make molasses.
Molasses, okay.
And the mule goes around and around and grinds the, and then they have big trough that the juice goes into, and it's cooked, and then you could take a part of the cane stalk and dip into it and eat some of it, you know, out of the thing.
Yeah.
But that was always fun. And then they always had a place, a hole in the ground where they would pour the, they would skim the scum off the top.
Yeah.
Sud, sort of. And put in there, and they sort of disguise that and hope somebody'd step into it, and someone always did.
Yeah. You know? I'd say so.
Mr. Steele has a poem about a stir off someplace, I think, in his book of poetry.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I can't remember it exactly, but I feel like I've seen that too. Let's talk a little bit about being in high school then. We've talked about some of your grade school memories or teachers. I guess maybe just what were kind of your favorite classes when you were in high school, or things that you enjoyed?
I liked English, liked the English classes and the history classes, and I loathed math. In fact, I took Algebra 1 2 years, and always did hate math.
Yeah, I do too.
Of course, we all, you know, basketball was the big sport.
Yeah.
We never had football at Hyman when I was there. They didn't have a field big enough to play it in.
I was going to say.
Nor enough boys to make the teams.
So what about, people have talked, you know, I've heard various things about basketball. What, I mean, how big of a deal was it?
Oh, it was everything. It was everything. And the gym would always be full for basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Pearl Combs was there, and he was beloved by everybody. You know, he was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brother to Beckham Combs, who was superintendent of school great deal of time that I was there. There were some other superintendents in between, but not many.
Yeah.
And well, we all went to the ball games, and then it was a scramble when we played games away from home to get rides to go.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you with me.
Yeah, I can't remember going on school buses. I really can't remember that. Maybe we did, but I don't recall it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd always, when we play in tournaments, you'd go to the tournaments. And Hyman had a really good, you know, they had good teams.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, they won the state tournament the year I was a senior.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What was that like?
That was just out of sight, you know. It was during the war.
Okay.
And they played a sectional tournament, which they had never done before.
Yeah.
They usually have a district and a regional.
And a regional.
And then the state. But they played the sectional tournament, which I think was in Richmond that year. And to save on gasoline, I suppose, so many people wouldn't have to travel. And then the tournament was played here in Lexington, and we won it. And of course, we all lost our minds, you know.
Were you there? Did you get to
go? Oh, yes, I was there. Yeah. It was, because it was my classmates.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Were on the team, Charlie Combs and Eugene Sloan, and I can't remember all of them right now. But that was all exciting. But the whole town got into that. all the town people.
Right.
Went to the ball games all the time. Hazard, we loathed Hazard with a passion. They were our biggest enemy, I guess.
Yeah. You know, was, oh, I'd say
they
so.
They had a much bigger school.
Oh, yeah.
And, uh-huh. and they had more kids to choose from. And then, of course, we always accused them of moving good players into Hazard so
right.
they could play for them.
Pretty much like they do now, just about everywhere in the mm-hmm. country.
Yeah. yeah. One thing I remember that was fun, you know, we always had a recreation teacher.
Okay.
Because by the time I got into school, it wasn't just settlement school. It was the...
It was a public school.
Well, it was public and then, and partly public and partly the
right.
The settlement.
Mm-hmm.
The settlement, I think, when I was in high school, supplied, I guess is the word, the home ec teacher, the manual training teacher, the recreation teacher,
mm-hmm.
music teacher. I don't know, and art, yeah,
okay.
art teacher. So it was a collaboration.
Yeah.
Between the public system and the settlement school. And I can remember when they built the recreation building that's up on the hill at the settlement school. We used to go up that one night a week and folk dance up there.
Oh, really?
And that, oh yeah, that was fun. And that was open to town kids too, you know,
mm-hmm.
we could go.
So you actually were instructed in folk dancing. Did you, like, was there somebody there that taught you all
oh,
the
yeah.
different things?
Yeah, it was done by the recreation teacher
uh-huh.
would teach folk dancing. Jane Bishop was there at the time. She was there for several years. And she remained active in folk dancing. And maybe till this day she goes to Berea
yeah.
to take
okay.
part in the folk dancing things. You know. But
it
was fun. It was just fun growing up in a small town.
Yeah.
And a small school. And you knew everybody and you knew all the teachers.
Uh-huh.
You know. So it really was.
Did y'all learn much about like ballads or songs or things like that? Or I guess you had music class, so were the things that were emphasized things of the region?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, I was particularly interested in them. Jean Ritchie was there part of the time I was there, too.
Really?
Right.
Hmm.
So she taught, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I can't remember that we had music lessons as such.
Yeah.
But we certainly were exposed to all the ballads and everything. Another thing that was really, really great at Hindman, and they did it for years, was the Christmas program. Has anybody ever told you about the Christmas
program? I've
heard
different things, but I'd like to.
Well, it was a big community thing. And they'd have an enormous tree.
Uh-huh.
And they had the Christmas play that had the three wise men. And I mean, it was two or three hours long. It was the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
And they had this enormous tree. And townspeople would put gifts. Everybody would put gifts under the tree for other people. And then a few of the townspeople, when the program was over, they would go and take the packages and call out names, and people would go get them. You know, it was big. It was really an enormous, well, it was one of the biggest Christmas things going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have a stocking of candy and stuff for kids at that. And get out as everybody was leaving or something.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful. It was a wonderful. And the costumes were elaborate. And my sister had dark hair and dark eyes. And she always wanted to be an angel mm-hmm. in the Christmas play. She said she never could be anything but a little old dirty wassailer because she wasn't blonde.
And then I
don't know whether Oma Smith, who was of a big Smith family there, not any relation to us, she was chosen to be an angel. And the Smith girls, of which there were many, all were born with straight hair. And then as they became adults, their hair turned curly. But Olga was going to be in the Christmas play as an angel. And she said, angels have to have curly hair. So she had made her mother put her hair up in rags, wrap it in rags to curl it, to go to the Christmas program and be an angel. And when she took it down, it was just corkscrewed all over
everywhere.
So she had to end up getting it wet and going as a straight-haired angel after all. She used to tell that story all the time. But the Christmas was a really big deal. And the men would go out, and settlement school boys would go up in the hills and find an enormous tree and bring it down. And it was in the gymnasium. And that tree would reach almost to the top of the gymnasium. So it was really big.
I think that, I think that's so neat that it was involved and everybody got together.
You know, and it's lost.
Yeah.
It's gone. They don't do that anymore. So it's too bad.
Yeah, I wish they did. I think that's really neat. Who are some of your, I guess, teachers, maybe favorite teachers or teachers that you remember in high school, even if they weren't your favorite? But
well, Betty Combs was one. She taught English, and she had come from Overland College.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, if it hadn't been for Betty Combs coming from Overland to teach at Hindman, I would never have met my husband.
Really?
He was her first cousin, and he came down with his father to visit with her in 1949, and that's when I met him.
Well, that's neat.
And one of my grade school teachers was Miss Manshart from California. And she taught one section of the third grade and the fourth grade, all of the fourth grade kids. And she was a great teacher. And of course, there was Clara Miles Standish. She was a librarian. And I went to her one time to ask her where to find something. And she was from Boston, and she was a descendant of Miles Standish. And I asked her where I could find something, and she said, look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, Archer. You know, Bostonians put
it
on all their...
You probably.
So she was... I liked her real well. And then there was Miss Kiesel, and I don't remember where Miss Kiesel came from. She taught fifth grade. No, sixth grade, and she had full head of beautiful white hair, and it was always wavy and everything, and she wore a little white net on it all the time. And they used to say that Miss Kiesel wore a wig, and we didn't know whether she did or not. So one time I was standing behind her. Her desk was in the back of the room, which is, I think about that now.
It's kind of odd.
And that was strange. And the blackboards were up front, but her desk was back there in her chair. So I was back by standing behind her asking something, doing something. And there was one hair sticking up. And so I thought, well, I'll see if it's a wig. So I pulled the hair, and she reached up and went like that. So I said, Jim, wear a wig.
No.
That's her own hair, yeah.
That's a good way to find out, though, isn't it?
My dad went to school at Hindman also.
Okay.
All of his family went there.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, his father, I think, sold the ladies the land.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That the settlement school is on.
Yeah, I talked to your uncle.
Did you talk to Afton?
Yes.
Did you?
And he gave me, I'll have to show it to you when we're finished, something that he'd say. He sat down and wrote out his memories.
Is that right?
And I don't know if he did it recently or a couple years ago, because he said that he had a hard time remembering a lot of different things, and so he gave it to me to keep. And it's just really neat.
You know, I think some of our relatives like to say that the land that my grandfather was gave the ladies the land. He didn't give it to them.
He sold it.
He couldn't afford to give it to them. Yeah. He sold it to
That's what he told me too. That's what Ashton told me, that he sold
it. I think
that's pretty neat, you know, that they would come and visit with their mom and things.
Yeah, and then even after we moved to Frogtown, away from where we were right in the grade school door practically, mm-hmm. a lot of the teachers would come. They all liked my mother. My mother was always jolly and friendly and everything, you know.
Well, that's neat.
So it was a real good experience, and I can't think of any of them that I didn't like.
Uh-huh. One thing that you mentioned earlier that I was thinking about, because you would have been in high school during the war, like you said, what kind of effect did that have, do you remember that having on the town itself, or just, I mean, did it drastically change the way y'all might have gone about your daily lives, or people?
I don't think so. I think, I think a lot of people, it cleaned out a lot of the young men around.
Did it, yeah.
And I lost a brother during the war. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of sadness to it.
Right.
Many, many men from the county were gone, you know, young men. But I guess I felt that it had more to do with my college life.
Okay.
Than it did with high school.
With high school.
Because in 43, when I left high school, you know, it was still going.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into college, there were very few men on campus. You know, all the young men had gone off to school.
Yeah.
But, I think the losses that Hindman had from boys being killed and everything had a great effect on the people.
Yeah. Because it's such a, you know, it's such a small town.
Yeah,
you,
everybody's so close.
Right.
And everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, and then you were proud of them, too, I guess, in a way. But, oh, my. The price that some of them had to pay.
Yeah. Now, where did you end up? What did you do after high school? You said you went to college.
I went to Kentucky Wesleyan.
Okay.
Graduated from there. Taught school for one disastrous year up at Hindman.
You did.
I was not a teacher. I just really was not. I taught freshman and sophomore English 1 year at Hindman, and that was enough. I just wasn't a good teacher. Although I bumped into a gal about a year or so ago that said that she had gone to, was in one of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you poor thing. And she said, no. She said, it's because of you that I became a teacher. She said, I taught all my life. And then said, I taught and then I got into administration. And she said, it was just because of you. I said, that's the first justification for my year that I spent up there that I'd ever had. I was really
That's
pleased.
Funny, though.
I know, it was hilarious. I couldn't believe what she was saying to me.
That's not been as bad as you thought.
Because I felt like I was such an utter failure at it. But then I worked for an airline for a while. I was a reservation agent for Delta Airlines up in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had met Betty Combs's cousin, and then we got married, and I moved to Cleveland and lived there for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up my husband and I worked together.
That's
and
neat.
When we came down here, we still worked together for a long time. We had a public accounting business.
Oh, neat.
Mm-hmm. We worked right downstairs here. We had our office.
Uh-huh.
And most of our clients were out of state.
Yeah.
They were all over California to Florida to
everywhere. Wow. That's pretty neat, though.
So it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to Hindman frequently.
Right.
Because I'm on the board at the bank.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, my brother's there. You know, that's how he and I are the only two left in my family.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I wish I could have gone to Mr. Steele's party.
I know. I missed it, too. I'm in trouble. I'm going to be in trouble when I see him. I'm going to have to think of something. Be on my toes when I see him, because he'll get me.
Well, there was something about it on the news.
And I know. I saw it.
They all had a good time.
Yeah. But I'm sure that he... If you want to visit with him, that's not a good time to do it, because there's
so many. Oh, I know. Yeah. That he probably was mobbed.
Oh, I'm sure he was. Yeah. He's probably worn out. Well, let's see. I guess we've talked about a lot of different things, but usually I ask just about everybody this question. Thinking back on it now, your relationship with Hyman and the settlement school, because as you said, they were kind of working together when you were in school there, but you had a different relationship because you were right there on the campus almost. How do you think that it impacted your life, just going to being a graduate of there?
Oh, I think it was invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I was so much aware of it when I was going through it, but looking back now, we were so fortunate, I think.
In what ways do you think y'all were so fortunate?
Well, I just think that we were taught we were taught good grammar.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught manners and the exposure of the different people. We talked about that from different cultures, and everything was helpful. I some of the kids coming from school today, that their grammar is absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
You know, and it was very stress-free, much that you speak proper English. And I think that's so important, because I always told my nieces, and then my nieces, I don't do much with my nephews, but your first impression, the first impression that you make, that people make of you, is from the way you look, and the second is from the way
you
speak.
Yeah.
And that's, I think we had much more. That was stressed much more than it is now. I may be wrong about that, but it seems to me a lot of these kids don't speak very well. And it was smaller. You knew everybody. These, you know, the consolidated schools are, I'm glad I didn't go to one of those.
Mm-hmm.
We knew our teachers. We knew all of our teachers, and got more attention, I suppose, because of small classes and everything. There were only about 20-some in my graduating class.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So they were small. That's why it was so fantastic that we won the state tournament with
that. That is amazing.
So few people, you know.
Yeah.
That was a tribute to Mr. Coach, Mr. Combs. He's such a good coach, you know.
That is neat.
No, I still feel very warm towards Hyman. I go back often and enjoy being there. Means a lot to me.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, is there anything that I haven't maybe asked you about your years in school or anything?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's anything really particularly remarkable,
okay.
You know, about
it. Yeah.
It was just the people. My people and the townspeople and the settlement people, we all, you know, everything went well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll stop this now.